all want to be. We all want to end up in heaven. That's the aim. That's the goal. That's where we should all be. And that's where we want everyone else to be, isn't it? With God, with our Father, with our Lord Jesus, with our friends, with our family, with the people in this world that we have never met, people that have long passed, people that are yet to come in heaven. It's a beautiful picture. As I was reading through Colossians and studying it this week, I noticed that there was a thread, a theme that went through the book. And while we've been having this theme called Rooted in Christ, and that's still the theme we're going on, there's also something else that carries its way throughout the book, and it has to do with walking. Paul uses this word a multitude of times, or at least four times within the book, and in every single chapter of the book, he uses this word at least once. In chapter 1 and verse 10, we find this first occurrence of the word walk. The walking is important. If you notice, once you've learned how to walk, you don't really think about it, do you? I mean, I'm up here, I'm just kind of walking around, and I'm not paying attention to where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm just sidestepping and going around the podium, going left and right, and that's it. But have you noticed that when you hurt your leg, you stub your toe, you do something that causes pain to your leg, then what happens? Every step you take matters. It's important. It sends a shockwave to your brain, and it reminds you that you're stepping, you're walking. Pay attention to how you're using me, because it hurts, right? It's constantly reminding you. And here, Paul in the book of Colossians is saying, pay attention to where you're going. Pay attention to how you're walking. And not just walking, but how you are living your life. That's how Paul is using this word, is how we ought to live, how the Christian ought to live now that they are in Christ Jesus. And in the first part of the book, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice that the Christian should live in such a way that we are pleasing to God. It's important that he started off in this book talking about that very fact, because the Colossians were not necessarily focused on pleasing God. They wanted to, but at the same time, they're hearing things from other people about how you're not living right. And they're being challenged by these false teachers to say, you're not walking in the right way. There's more to what you're doing. And so, okay, well, yeah, we want to please God, but is this, if I do what they want, am I really going to be pleasing to Him? And Paul, of course, wants them to walk in a manner worthy, notice, by bearing fruit in every good work, by being filled with knowledge, by increasing in knowledge, and by drawing upon God's strength. If you look at verses 9 through 12, we see all of this. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Notice we get the directions, right? He says, I want you to be filled up with this knowledge, with this wisdom, so that you can walk this way. Don't listen to what this person has to say over here. Listen to what Christ has said. Listen to what His holy apostles have said. Listen to what the prophets have been teaching, not just what anybody wants to come and say, or those who are coming who want to just receive money from teaching you. Listen to what Christ has said. Listen to His knowledge, not worldly knowledge or philosophy. He talks about that in the second chapter in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And so our aim in walking is to be pleasing to God. That's what we should be doing each and every day. How can I glorify Him? How can I praise Him? How can I lift Him up in each step that I take? Everything I'm doing isn't just about me. And it's not even necessarily just about the person that I have dealings with, is it? It's about God. How I treat them reflects upon God. How I treat my wife reflects upon God. How I treat my brothers and sisters in Christ reflects upon God. How am I living? Is it pleasing to Him with everything that I do? And then secondly in the book, Paul says, walk in such a way as to imitate Christ. Now, he doesn't use those exact words, imitating Christ, but turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and notice verse 6. He says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in Jesus. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter in chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of who? Christ. Imitate Christ. Walk in Him. You've been buried with Him. You've risen with Him in baptism. He is living in you. Walk in Him. Don't do all of those things and do good for a while and then decide, I'm going to walk somewhere else, or Maybe Jesus doesn't have all the answers I need. I'm going to start searching elsewhere. He says, no, stay in Him. John puts it another way. He says, walk in the light as He is in the light. Stay focused with Christ. Remember that He is the one that saved you. He bled for you. He gave His life for you. He hung on a cross for you. He was spat. He was mocked. He wore a crown of thorns for you. And He's given you everything. He's given you the way to walk, to have success in this life and the next. To not only have success here, but to live with Him forever, to have life everlasting. That's why I love the song that we just sang a minute ago. Sing to me of heaven. I want to walk here in a way that's pleasing to Him, imitating Christ, so that I can walk in heaven. Notice here in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 2, he says, so walk in Him at the end of verse 6, but notice verse 7, having been firmly rooted. You know, it's not that you just accidentally walk in Christ. It says, no, you've been firmly rooted. You've been planted in Christ. And now being built up in Him. Notice, you've been planted. The foundation has started. Let's start being built up. Let's start rising to the occasion. Let's start living life the way that it's been meant to be lived, how Jesus wants us to. He says, being established in your faith there in verse 7. It's important that he says all these things, firmly rooted, built up, established in your faith, because of verse 8 that we read a moment ago. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through all these empty words, through all these things. Because guess what? It sounds good, right? Things that the world preaches, things that your professor will preach to you at school, will teach you at school. Some of the things are necessary for the job that you'll have, but other things that they will throw in there, or the philosophy teacher, or whoever else you'll go and listen to, a lot of times it sounds great. It sounds wonderful. Unless it's leading you away from Christ. It's leading you away from Him, then it's not going to be great and wonderful. It might sound pleasing. It might sound good. But if it doesn't help you live and walk in Him each and every day, then it's not worth it. You will lose everything that you've gained if you walk away or you walk out of Christ instead of in him. And then the third occurrence in the book, in chapter 3, now this one I didn't put the scripture on the board because it's really almost the whole chapter, but the verse is in verse 7, is found verse 7, where he uses the term walk. It says there, "And in them you also walked when you were living in them." Now he's talking about the fact that the members of their body were dead to these passions, to these evil desires, back up in verse 5, greed, which amounts to idolatry. "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience." And then he says, "Those that you once walked in," right? You once lived your life in that same way. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Put aside, lay aside the old self and its evil practices." Verse 10 says, "Put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Of course, that's in Christ, isn't it? We've been created anew in Christ. So what I want us to understand from this word is used in verse 7 to walk again, but to walk in a new way. We don't need to be walking in the things of the past. We've lived that life already, haven't we? There was a reason we left it. There was a reason we chose Christ. There was a reason we chose to live in Jesus. It wasn't because we had it all figured out already, was it? We recognize there's problems with how I'm living. What I'm doing isn't right. In fact, I've been downright sinful. Or, as Paul puts it, evil. These evil practices that I once took part in. Stop walking in those. Start walking the new path that Christ has laid for you. Be that new person that he's allowed you to be. He's given you a clean slate. And it's not just, "Here's your clean slate, try again." It's, "No, here's the clean slate, and I want you to fill it up." Notice here in verses 12 and following. "So that those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." And verse 14's a good one. "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Jesus has given us a new way of living, a new way of walking, so that we're not walking in the wrong direction, but we're walking in the right direction. We're walking on the right path. We're doing things the right way, encouraging and building one another up, being encouraged and built up by our brothers and sisters, loving, forgiving. And sometimes we look at the family, not the church family, but just think of a family unit. It can happen within the church family too. But you see people fighting and arguing with one another. I see it with my kids at times. "That's my toy. You know, that I started playing with it, but you put it down." "No, that was my seat." Have you ever had that one? You just got up for a second to go grab something. Somebody said, they left. They said, "No, that's my seat." They start arguing and bickering with one another. We see that happen all the time in families and in different situations where they fight and bicker over little things like that. But here, if you're walking in Christ, notice the love, the forgiveness. Not only that, but when you're struggling with something, I'm bearing it with you. I'm walking alongside, and I'm doing my best to help lift you up and carry it. because that's what Christ wants me to do. I want to care for you, and you want to care for me. We're walking a new path, one that's not selfish, one that's looking to Christ for the example. And then we have in chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, which is actually where we are in the book. Everything else we just talked about, that was the introduction. We're just getting started now. chapter 4 is where we actually are in our study. And here, I love how others have looked at this passage in chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Some people call it the personal worker's prayer, the soul winner's prayer. And I really love that title. But I want you to notice that walk pops up right in the middle of this section again. In chapter 4, in verse 5, where he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now, if you've noticed, the scriptures that I've used on the screen are from the New King James Version, because I use the New American Standard all the time. It's the Bible I use to preach out of. But guess what the New American Standard did with verse 5? They said, conduct yourselves. They used walk every other time in the book. But here they said, you know, let's not use walk again. Let's say conduct yourselves, which is fine. Still gets that same message across, that you're walking, you're behaving in such a way, you're living in such a way. I want you to notice how different translations do things, how they can change the English word to a phrase or do something where you might lose what the writer is getting at sometimes. You might miss the fact that, hey, he's been talking about walking in every single chapter. I recognize some of those things. I'm not saying one version's better than the other. I'm just saying sometimes we read through a translation, we might miss something because they decided to use a different word that might mean the same thing, or maybe even a phrase that might mean the same thing, and we miss it because it wasn't the same word used throughout the rest of the book. But he says, conduct yourselves, walk in such a way, walk with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Christians should live in such a way to make a good impression with those outside, those who are not believers. We should walk in wisdom. Treat them with respect. As Wes talked about earlier this morning, do I return evil for evil? Do I return good for good? Do I return good for evil? Right? How is the Christian supposed to respond in all those different scenarios? Well, I need to respond with good. Walk with that wisdom. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. And then he says, making the most of your opportunity. Some translations might have redeem the times. And that's really what it means. You know, it's like trying to buy back the time. Every opportunity, you've heard the phrase carpe diem, or seize the day. That's basically what he's saying here, is the opportunities that you have, don't waste them. Don't let them just fly by. See, when we're with somebody that's not a believer, we need to make the most of the opportunity to see that they are a soul. They're someone that God has created. They're someone that God loves, that He sent His Son for. And there's someone that He expects us to share His message with, to share the gospel message. And we take opportunity. We don't waste it. We don't say, well, maybe tomorrow. Because guess what? Tomorrow's not promised. Not only can the Lord come back, but guess what? You are not promised tomorrow. you might be the one that just doesn't wake up. We don't know how long we'll live. And so we better make the most of every opportunity that we have with those around us to influence them towards Christ. I want us to go back and read, starting in verse 2 of chapter 4. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert within it an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ," or you could say the gospel of Christ, "for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Notice how concerned Paul is about what he's doing for the Lord, but how he wants everyone to pray for him, that he can make it clear in the way he ought to speak. Sometimes we get nervous, don't we? When we say, you know, I know I need to share the gospel. I know I need to do those things, but I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to confuse someone. I don't want to make a mistake. And what do? We get so fearful of making a mistake that we don't take advantage of the opportunity. We're not making that good impression. We're not redeeming the time that we have with those people. Instead, what we should be doing is, you know what? I might be scared of making a mistake. I might be fearful of this. But I'm going to do what Paul did. And I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to ask others to pray for me that I can make it clear. And when I do talk to others, when I do share the gospel, when I do have those opportunities, I make it as clear as I can, that they can see the gospel for what it is, that they can see Jesus and what he's done, what God has done for them. And then Paul turns it on the Colossians in verse 5. You know, in verses 2 through 4, he's talking about himself. Verse 5 is where it gets personal. He turns it on everybody else. "Now you conduct yourselves. You walk with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity." I never turned on this microphone. I don't think I ever did. I apologize for that. There I am, everybody. Let's just start over, right? Oh, dear. And then in verse 6, as he was concerned about how he ought to speak in verse 4, he talks about it in verse 6 for everyone else. "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Let your speech always be with grace and with salt, so that it can taste good, right? Sometimes we're so worried that what we're going to say is going to hurt them, make them feel like we're judging them. We're fearful about those things. He says, just try to make your speech filled with grace and with salt. And that's it. But still preach, still proclaim the message. Make sure they hear it. You're here to redeem the time, to make the most of the opportunity. Don't let it pass. There might be another opportunity. There might be another time. Or there might be another Christian or another preacher or somebody else that gets to visit with that person, and that's wonderful. And I'm glad that happens. But if we miss out, there's no way for us to know if we just let that opportunity go and didn't share, didn't even try.
Make a good impression. Make sure that you walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Treat them in a way that helps them understand that you truly love them, that you care for them, and that the reason you're sharing this message of Jesus is because of those very things. Because God loved me, and He wants me to share that love with you. I want you to know about Christ, because I know I needed to know about Christ. And someone shared Him with me. And they told me what He did. And I recognized that I was the one that was a sinner, that I was lost, and that without Him, I had no hope of heaven. We've all been there. You can share that message so easily because it's your message. It's your life. Don't let it go. Don't let it pass without taking the opportunity. We are to be rooted in Christ. And as we are rooted in Christ, He expects us to walk the right way. Have you ever been walking down the sidewalk? And as you're walking, your toe hits that crack on the next slab. And you know what's coming next, right? You're either going to fall to the ground, but someone like me, instead of falling to the ground, I hit that and I stub my toe, I'm about to fall. But instead of falling, I do that jog, you know. Yeah, I just decided to run right now. And I'm good. I'm done. That was as far as I wanted to run, right? You kind of just do that. We might have hiccups along the way. We might have those issues where we do fall back to that old self that Paul talked about in chapter 3. Maybe we do make a mistake and we think about it and we're praying about it and we're, man, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I had said it this way instead. And you know what? Sometimes those things happen. It doesn't mean that you stop trying or that you stop walking. Keep moving forward. Keep walking the path that Christ has given us. And you will have your reward. And not only will you have your reward, but based on Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, you're sharing that with as many people along the way. If you've ever run in a marathon or a 5K or a 10K or any of those kinds of runs, isn't it encouraging to see everybody else running with you? I know some people that just, they spend the first 5 minutes trying to bob and weave through everybody else and they just want to get out in front. But it's encouraging to me because I'm not that person. I like to know that there's other people struggling along with me and they're trying to make that. They're trying to get to the finish line too. When you're sharing with others, you're allowing more people to join the race and to run with you. And how wonderful it will be to see all those people finish that race as well. This evening, if you have not been walking the way that Jesus wants you to walk, but you know you should be doing better, you know that you shouldn't be doing these things and you should be doing those things, and you need help, you need the encouragement, you need us to help lift you up, that's what we're here for. An encouraging word to pray on your behalf, to help you with whatever you need. And if you're here tonight and you're ready to start this walk, you recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the one that bled and died for you and was resurrected so that you can have a resurrection, and you're ready to put Him on in baptism, the invitation is for you while we stand and while we sing.